You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
What does sueñito mean?
Sueñito. It means little dream.
That's it? No story?
All right. Everybody sit down.
It's a story of a block that was disappearing. In un barrio called Washington Heights, the streets were made of music.
I am Usnavi, and you probably never heard my name. Reports of my fame are greatly exaggerated.
Morning, Usnavi.
Pan caliente, café con leche.
On these blocks, you can't walk two steps without bumping into someone's big plan.
I'm making moves, I'm making deals, but guess what?
What?
You still ain't got no skills.
Dream up on Washington, dream up. I got nothing I got nothing.
Wow, that was one of the most unsatisfying rap intros of all time. Thank you very much for that, Critic. Well, that's it. Podcast over. I'm out.
I apologize. I was actually fully intending to spend most of today writing a whole bunch of raps and amazing things, and then I didn't because racists.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yep. And because racists is a reason, if I've ever I heard one.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to write some, like a fun little thing to welcome everybody to the show and everything, and then nah. Because people are shit.
Well, okay.
Yeah, I'm really bringing the mood up, I know.
Happy days here at the Purity Table. Awesome. That's Quinny. He's not great. I'm Dion.
Paciencia y fe, Quinny.
Yeah, paciencia y fe. Yeah. calor. So I'm just going to do a lot of hand motions and get really emotive throughout this.
Okay.
But at the same time, be very careful and not scooting too close to being racist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Good.
Who are you, man with beard?
I was trying to get there, but my name's Dion. I'm feeling muy caliente for this. That is potentially the limit of my Spanish, unless "Dónde está la biblioteca" is is a requirement for this one.
I managed to learn some Spanish from watching this, not enough to actually introduce either of the two beautiful women. I'm sorry.
I would be very impressed if you learned conversational Spanish from watching one musical.
No, it was that and many years of Sesame Street.
Well, I'll introduce myself in English. I'm Peter.
And I'm Jill.
Bueno.
Oh, God. No. I can't do this.
Does
anyone here speak Spanish?
No? Nobody here speaks Spanish.
Me no hablo español.
Excellent.
So let's do the podcast in English.
Sure.
No idea.
I mean, there is a moment here where you start going, okay, how far do we go with speaking, you know, bad Spanish before it becomes some kind of weird cultural appropriation? And then you're like
the line is closer than you think it is.
Peter, that's essentially the way I live my life. The line is always closer than I think.
I have a question for you, Quinny. Did the racist you encountered today, was it you?
Oh!
that's the point.
No.
Because you're getting real close to that line there, buddy.
I know. This is why I'm super aware of it at the moment. So I'm just like, no, what? Let's just keep ourselves nice, shall we?
Cool.
Speaking of nice things.
Mm. Yes. It's a musical.
It's a musical.
Yes.
Is this the first musical that has been reviewed? Are we branching out?
Is it?
No, surely we must have done.
No, we've done Hamilton.
Yes, but yeah. Has it been released? I don't know. Has it gone out? It went over Christmas.
Yes, we did.
Yes, it went over. But that was like a...
Fuck you. Yes, it has been released.
It was a musical, not truly a movie.
Weren't we watching it? Yeah.
Did we do one on... What was that TV musical, the medieval one?
Gallivant.
Oh, Gallivant. Yes. That was
great.
We
must have done one on Gallivant.
Yeah, I'm just double checking. I'm making sure that we're covering our bases. Well, I mean, we still haven't done Cats.
I feel like given the deep musical nerds in the group, it is kind of weird that we've not properly talked about a musical before.
Oh, we'll go on in depth at it. I mean, hey, look, you know, we're highlighting In the Heights and, you know, it's good. I liked it. It's good. Fun, and I wish I'd gone to the cinema to see it, but I didn't.
Yes.
Because I can't do that, because it's available on HBO Max, which you can access the American account if you have a VPN, if you're in Australia. So there's your way around it. If you can't go to it because, you know, well, all of us are in lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah, but the rest of the country that's not in lockdown, all three of you, you can probably go and watch it in the cinema right now. Yeah. I was like so close. Like it was on the plan for the day that the lockdown happened. I was going to go and watch In the Heights in the cinema, and I was like, yeah, shitballs.
Damn.
Yeah.
But what is your experience of this musical? Now, how many of us here have been lucky enough to see it?
The movie or the one on
the
stage?
The musical.
On stage.
Stage.
Yes,
we
I believe.
All have because it recently was, a production was in Sydney at the Opera House. And I know this because I attended with our good friend Beck, and Quinny also attended but hadn't invited us.
I was waiting for the salt to come out. I was waiting
for
the
knife.
We just
pretend to be friends.
I remember going to In the Heights, but I also don't remember who I was with. So that's a good thing for everyone, wasn't it? Was I with you guys? If I was, I forgot.
I'm pretty sure you were there, Dion.
Invite me or just different? Like, was it just different? Like, did we just run into each other like, oh, I can't believe I saw you here. I was just, oh, I know that I said I was sick today, but I feel better. Like, is that how it all happened?
No, I can't even remember. I know I was there with McEwans, who are lovely people and very big musical fans, and I am just a shit friend. I think we can all agree that I am just a, sorry.
Well, I saw it with other friends, but I actually saw it in your neighbourhood at the community theatre. So,
oh, shit.
There's another double didn't invite you guys.
Ouch. Ow.
That's right. There was dueling In the Heights banjos going, like, one at the Opera House and one at, like, a small independent theatre.
It was
and
the
was
same
like...
production, actually. So they did the little local one, and then they... got a big kick up onto the Opera House. So I was jealous I didn't get to go and see it at the Opera House as well. That would have been rad. It was so good.
Yeah.
It was a really good production.
It was amazing.
Actually, So we've all seen
a lot of stuff
In the Heights in its original. Yes. Yeah, really cool staging and choreography with the throwing of the crates.
So much throwing of crates.
So this is nice. It's nice because I love a movie musical adaptation. I love a movie musical that's not an adaptation, but that's a whole different conversation. But it sometimes when one is very close to the subject matter, a movie adaptation could be a little bit unsatisfying. How close are we, Quinny? Like, have you been in love with this musical for a while, or is this a casual relationship for you?
I've been seeing other musicals. honestly, I've been singing around. I originally saw this one on stage down in, funnily enough, of all places, Launceston, Tasmania, where the local Launceston College did it as their big musical that they do each year. And this is a college that I've worked for. I've directed musicals for them and everything. And they'd managed to score the rights to being able to do it and were very excited because it was obviously Lin-Manuel Miranda and, you know, Hamilton was the biggest thing around at the time. And every musical director is like, oh, amazing. And so I went and saw it, and it was one of the strangest things I've ever seen. like, it's really good, and they did an extraordinary job of it, but these are a group of 100 and something kids of between the ages of 16 and 18, like 15 to 18, in Launceston, Tasmania, all pretty much as white bread as you get.
Yeah, I was going to say, not a real big Latino population in Tasmania as a whole. I'm sure there's some, but I'm just sort of going, you're stretching it a bit thin if people are calling each other, you know, where's my abuela? And a lot of people going, a what?
Exactly. So
I'm from the mean street of Washington Heights. No, you're not. You're from across the river.
That was the thing. I watched it and I'm like, this is really good, and there's so much Spanish, and, like, you know, these kids are incredibly fucking talented, you know, absolutely tearing up the stage and, you know, doing an amazing job. But at the same time, if your abuela is 15, you know, and is wearing the funny wig and everything, it just feels a little weird, and there is this bizarre sense of, like, I'm not sure you should be doing this.
Yeah, this is a musical built, you know, for representation of minority people.
Yeah.
And having, I mean, a very white bread or cast is kind of like, it's really nice. But
you know, it's great, but it was
like if the Launceston Players put on a musical version of Black Panther. You'd just be like,
yeah.
It's kind of like when my very, very, very white high school did a production of The King and I. It's supposed to be a predominantly Asian cast, which ends up with a lot of embarrassing, unintentional yellow face issues happening, which, you know, we might not have clocked at the time I was in high school, but now I'm like, that was an embarrassing yellow face incident in my life.
Yeah.
Yes, we need to think about the material and the casting opportunities when we are doing these things. And something I kind of wanted to, I guess, touch on is even this film has been criticised for lack of representation in its cast. So
which I was fascinated by. Like, because
how so?
A lack of dark-skinned Latino characters in lead roles when apparently Washington Heights is primarily dark-skinned or Afro-Latino characters. And Lin-Manuel Miranda has acknowledged the criticism as being very valid. So, so maybe, you know, Launceston Players probably shouldn't have done it. All white Australian high school probably shouldn't do it. But even, you know, in a film where all of the main characters were cast, you know, with Latino actors, it still really didn't represent people right.
Which is
a shame.
Because, I mean, there are black characters in there, but not as many as perhaps would have been expected. And it was portraying a very
lighter skinned Latino.
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting that there is such a gamut of Latinx people. You know, that what we've, I guess, from as a white audience looking at, we're like, fuck, this is just amazing. Look at these, you know, this huge array of interesting, beautiful faces and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, they're still going, no.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's that representation thing, right? If you've never experienced not being represented, you don't know. You don't know what it's like to watch something in a neighborhood where you're supposed to be represented and you're still not seeing your face. So that, I think, I guess it's put a little bit of a dampener on the release, in my opinion. But it has been kind of well acknowledged by Lin-Manuel Miranda and the director, John Chu, that this is something that they could have done better,
which
is a shame. But I guess unless we raise these things and talk about them, people don't try to do better in the future. So
exactly,
that is true. And you do have to, you got to call it out when you see it. Mm-hmm. Which was my day, making myself unpopular by calling things out when you see them. Yay, what a fun time that was, Ben. So anyway, what is this film about?
Yes.
I'm going to give you a synopsis. I am pleased to say I'm not going to attempt to sing it.
Thanks, Quinny.
Don't do a Latin accent.
Don't do it.
Straight line that shit, Quinny.
Dion, can I have a beat, please? No, I'm kidding.
That's all I got. Wait. There you go. There's your beat.
In Washington Heights, New York, the scent of warm coffee hangs in the air just outside of the 181st Street subway stop, where a kaleidoscope of dreams rallies a vibrant and tight-knit community. At the intersection of it all is a likable and magnetic bodega owner who hopes, imagines, and sings about a better life. That is the official synopsis, and I think it's actually a little bit light on.
Yes.
We meet Usnavi. Usnavi, who is the bodega owner of just being spoken about. Mm. And all of the characters in his neighbourhood who he is interacting with and finding out what all of their little dreams are. So what was the phrase that was used in the trailer? Sorito?
Suanita?
Suanita. You know, your little dream. Mm. Yeah. And, yeah. It's interesting. Like, I found it really interesting watching this and realizing how much had been changed from the stage show. Like, what characters had been moved around and what had been adapted, and yeah,
it's certainly been updated as well. I mean, we're talking about 2005. The show first it was written, so I felt to me there was a nice kind of modernization, but also bringing into the cultural context of today in some of those stories, which I thought was kind of really nicely done. I didn't miss anything, or I didn't feel like anything was wedged in there.
Yeah. Not wedged in, but there were definitely some interesting additions that sort of, I think, maybe fleshed out some of the characters or gave some more depth to them here and there. Sunny is, I guess, Usnavi's offsider, nephew?
Cousin,
sorry, yeah. And, yeah, there was an entire sort of subplot there about something that I guess we don't necessarily have any sort of basis for understanding of here in Australia, the dreamers. So dreamers being the children of immigrants who up until when Trump was in power, essentially if you were a child of an immigrant in America, you were legally an American citizen. Mm-hmm. And feel free to completely correct me on this. But then dreamers were then told, no, you're not an American citizen and you can be deported, even though you don't actually have any home. Children of illegal immigrants specifically. Hmm. And, yeah, this puts Sunny in an interesting position, which I don't think was really in the original stage show.
No.
So, yeah, I can... Characters that we should probably cover. Usnavi, who is our bodega owner, his cousin, Sonny, who works for him. There's Pete with the spray can. And I need to open a cast list because there's a whole bunch of characters that I can't remember the name of.
Vanessa, the love interest, who works at the salon.
And it wants to be a fashion designer.
Mm-hmm. Nina.
Yes, Nina, the daughter of the car service owner, Mr. Yes. Rosario.
Who has gone away to college and is uncertain about her future. Mm-hmm. Benny, who is working for Mr. Rosario and is in love with Nina. I like the character, Piragua guy.
Yeah, Piragua. Piragua.
Have you seen it?
That was my favorite of the whole musical, Piragua.
Uh-huh. Piragua guy's just there.
Oh, hi, Piragua guy.
There he is. What a so terrible character.
Have a nice Piragua.
Yes, he looks like a terrible person that we wouldn't be good at all and just doing a silly job.
Yes.
Boring
yes.
man.
So there's Daniela, who is the owner of the salon, who is interesting.
Yes. Like, it's kind of like I think that there's a lot of characters in there, but they don't get as fleshed out as in, like, the movie is very much focused on the big numbers and the transitions in between those things to carry it through, rather than the musical, which is all about giving each of the, even the side people, a little bit of a song.
Mm-hmm.
And they lose, yeah. they sort of like cut it back a bit to go a bit of a cross between. It's not really a musical because it seems to be, it's a movie about people with some music, like linked together with musical stuff. And what I've got to say, I think about it, is the musical pieces in this are great.
Yeah.
And I just kind of, what I just said, we wanted more of those.
Sorry, Dan, I want to know what you think a musical is, if not a story about people living together with music.
Well, I have no answer for you, Peter. What I think of what I expect is a musical. A musical is just like a rock opera, right? They start with a big opening thing and then they just sing for 3 hours and then it's done and you've got to go, was that Dante's Inferno? I don't know. It was in Italian.
Yeah.
But also, many musicals have dialogue between the songs.
Sure. But
I do think it was an interesting choice to actually shift this one away from being a more operatic type thing, in that there wasn't much dialogue in the stage show at all, if any.
Yeah.
To suddenly adding a lot more dialogue in this one, and also removing a couple of characters.
Yeah.
Rolling a few in together a little bit.
I got to say, I actually followed the film version way better than I followed the stage one. Because when the stage one started, I was just kind of like, who's that? What's this?
So many
who's that
lights
guy?
And colours.
You know? Why are they throwing milk crates at each other? What's going on? Like, and because it's like got a very, you know, you've sort of got to know what you're in for. And I don't understand any kind of Spanish. And even with a bit of an accent singing English at me, I'm like, what? What are they talking about? You've gone to college? Why are they driving a taxi? I don't understand these references. What's a taxi
anymore?
Fetty?
Why is he on the dispatch?
What? Yeah, yeah. Why would you have a dispatch? There's Uber.
Yeah. And that was another interesting
thing. Not in 2005.
Hey.
Well, when was this set?
I was a bit confused because I thought it was set a while ago, but then I realised they all had smartphones and then I got confused.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little bit timeless. You know, maybe it's borrowing some things from sometimes and some things from other times.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah, I was really confused by that at one point because that whole thing of Benny, who works for Rosario's cab company, and quite literally is using a shortwave radio.
It opened in 2008 as a musical. Like, it had been written before. It started in 2005, and then it got off-Broadway 2007, and the original musical started in 2008, which meant that Lin-Manuel Miranda had been writing that from roughly, you could say, 2003, 2004.
So as he said, he's been writing it most of his life.
Yeah, like refining it as you go. And just remember, the first iPhone only came out in 2005. So that should give you an idea about the steps between why we are running a cab company and not Uber. This has been my
TED. It's not a cab company. It's a car service. And car services are still used in New York.
Okay, so what? Explain the difference to me. Help me out here.
Car service is like a chauffeur service.
Oh, okay, right. This makes a lot more sense then.
Yeah, town cars.
It's yeah, like town cars. Yeah, there you go.
Remember, Quinny, we were told the advice when we got off the plane in New York City is do not get in the town car, get the yellow cab.
Yes.
Yes.
So
much more expensive, but yeah.
It's also remembering that
like Uber, but you know, you book it.
Right. Sorry, go to Pete.
Well, just remembering that this is a story that is, you know, told by Usnavi in the past tense. I had assumed when I saw the stage show that the blackout was a reference to that famous big New York blackout from the 70s. And that, you know, it was a story being told about a different era. So I'm not I don't know if it's supposed to be set in a particular time anymore. I think it might have I think it's borrowed some things from other things, and obviously there are still taxis crawling all over New York even though Uber exists, so
yeah.
Well, I mean, like, you know, blackouts in New York City are actually something that does happen, you know, especially in summer if it gets really really hot and everyone overloads their thing. Including recently I do know that a text message went out to a bunch of New Yorkers asking them to turn off their air conditioning for a little bit during the day while leaving Times Square running. So
good.
Fuck capitalism and all it's in for. But I digress.
Yeah, we do. So we were going through the characters. So we got to Benny, as you say, who was working for... But we hadn't got to Abuela Claudia.
Abuela.
She's not my abuela, but she's my abuela.
She's not really my abuela. And I love her because she was actually the original abuela from the stage show, from the Broadway version.
Aww. Mm-hmm.
After I saw the show in Launceston, I thought, okay, that was
That was with the
that
was with the 15-year-old abuela, right?
Yes, that's the one. But I thought, holy shit, the music in that was amazing. So I got the album and I was listening to the Broadway cast version, going, fucking wow. Mm. And yeah, the voice of Claudia in my head and in the music that is playing through my heart is her voice. And for some reason I had her in my head as being like this tall, stately woman. And then you see her and she is just this little lovable kind of grandmother.
She's a grandma.
Her song, of Paciencia y Fe is powerful. Like there is some fucking oomph to it. And for some reason in my head, she was a lot taller, you know, just because the size of her voice. I've never seen pictures of her. But then I saw her and I went, oh, that's even better. She is, you know, this grandmother who you just want to, you know, have cups of tea with and shit. But at the same time, she will blow you out of the fucking water with that voice.
Did we explain the name of his Navy?
Like that's something
just keep. Usnavi. Because I found that was kind of one of those things, especially during the stage show. I was like, I don't get it, and then I took the film, and I was like, oh, okay, I get you.
Well, in the stage show, it's mentioned in the middle of a song.
There's too much going on in a stage show, Quinny. I couldn't concentrate. With this one, at least, I can pause it and take it back. Yeah, you know, I can't just yell out to the people on stage. Can you go back two songs? Thanks. I'm catching up.
Yes. So he's named after the first thing that his parents saw once they came to America from the Dominican Republic.
We're having complaints in the chat about spoilers. Do we feel like the origin of Usnavi's name is a spoiler?
It's not important, guys.
It's not important, but also it's actually moved around in the musical. So in the stage,
in the musical, it's the beginning, right?
Yeah.
So in the stage show, it's right near the end that they actually reveal where his name came from.
Really?
Whereas in the movie, it's put right up front.
I mean, I can just turn the spoilers on. There you go. Yeah. As Casper said, he's like, is there much to spoil? It's a musical about Washington Heights. Stuff happens.
Like, that's not the spoiler of the movie.
No, well, there are things to spoil, and there are points that I do want to bring up in terms of plot stuff.
I'll just check it up now.
Would
anyway.
Be considered a spoiler, so at some spoilers. Point, we've got to be careful with it.
Yeah.
Just checking. That's right. It's fine. Just check.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, look, it's already been spoiled in the chat.
Yeah, you guys did that. Fine, whatever.
Can't hold us accountable now.
yeah. Other characters who are well worth a look. So you've got Daniela and Carla, who both will walk at the salon. And then you've also got Piragua guy. And one who is missing that I found interesting was Camila Rosario.
The mum, yeah.
So this is probably, from my money, one of the biggest changes. Is that in the stage show, Nina's mother is still alive and has a very important role to play in the story.
Oh, yeah, they did fridge the mother, didn't they?
Well, they didn't actually say she was dead or anything.
Yeah, but even so, not having her around.
She's still
at all.
Fridged if she hasn't been murdered.
I think it's only fridging if it's done at the beginning of the movie to give them main character motivation.
Yeah, exactly.
And technically, that's not even Kevin's main motivation for why he wants what he wants. So, technically, yeah. Not a fridging.
Well, apparently, that's Druidic says it. Yes, they did mention that she was dead. So, yeah, they fridged her. I stand by it. She didn't just go to a farm up north. Go on holiday to a farm upstate. That's where she is. Somewhere in the Catskills.
It did make a lot of sense, though, because it actually gave Daniela, it gave her a song. So you were saying, Dion, that, like, you know, all the characters in the stage show got a song or something to kind of explain a bit more who they are.
I felt like they did, but I could be wrong because my memory is, as we have established, very sketchy, as I can't remember who I went and saw this with. And I don't know too many people.
He just knows he was in a room it happened.
He was in the room where it happened.
There were a lot of milk crates.
Look out for the little Hamilton Easter egg.
Oh, yes.
We won't say what it is, but it gave me a real chuckle.
Yes, okay. Made me very, very happy.
I mean, yeah, it was great to see George Washington. Oh, sorry.
Not even that.
That's why it's called George Washington Heights.
Oh. And we're not talking about the George Washington Bridge that was in a lot of scenes either.
No. George Washington's going home. But anyway. One of the songs that was Camellia's song was given across to Daniela, which I thought made a lot of sense, to be honest, because it was kind of like, okay, well, here's a character who gets a bit to do in the stage show, like, but essentially is relegated to, hey, you're the people in the salon.
Yeah.
You know, you do just that salon stuff. And then it's like, okay, well, no, we're going to give you the beginning of one of the really big numbers. You know, essentially you are the kickoff for one of the massive dance sort of set pieces. I had a lot of fun with it.
Very fun. I really enjoyed some of the different ways that they both choreographed but also, you know, all of the graphic elements in the musical sequences. I liked that you know, each different song, which had a slightly different mood, was kind of treated a little bit differently. Particularly the Nina and Benny's duet, I forget the name of it, on the side of that building. That was such a lovely idea.
Oh,
But also that one where they had that, you know, those graphic overlays coming in. I thought that's such a fun little, that's fun. This feels like fresh. It doesn't feel like every movie musical I've seen before.
And we do actually have a clip from that bit, but if you, well, I think that's the one that I sent through to you, Dion, wasn't it?
I have something about a lotto that people want to win. Does that?
Yeah, the lottery one. Sense?
Yeah. Now, I don't know whether we want to go to a clip and then come back and talk about things in more spoilery or what. Oh, where
did
do
you
we
want to rate it if you're going to throw to a clip? Shouldn't you be rating it before you throw to a clip? Or?
That's the danger. And I feel like we haven't, you know, really kind of delved into this that much before I could tell you a rating.
Okay.
Maybe
I don't know.
We just
need
to keep talking then.
Yes.
Sure.
I feel like I haven't heard from you guys in terms of what you thought about it, what you loved, what you didn't dig.
Yeah, well, I mean, God, I think it was 2019, I want to say, that I saw the musical.
Mm.
Or 2018, I can't remember. So it's, my memory of it is not great. So trying to compare the movie to it is not something I was doing while I was watching it. So I was just enjoying it for what it was, and I thought that it was great. I kind of found like the story really easy to follow as well. I didn't pick up a lot on like the character changes and the story changes so much because my memory from the original was like so long ago.
Yeah.
But I kind of do feel like maybe the Salon Girls were kind of overlooked in comparison to the rest of the characters that maybe got a bit more screen time. They just didn't quite share a lot of the same musical numbers, I guess. Like, it did kind of feel like a very Usnavi-centric film when originally the musical was kind of about everybody in the neighborhood. Although we do get like a lot of Vanessa development as well, which was kind of cool. Yeah, I guess I felt like everybody got like a really good fair share of the film, which was important because you do need to hear all of the different voices.
Absolutely. Pete.
Yeah.
I felt like I didn't feel like it was too Usnavi centered. I really I was there for Nina's story, probably even more than when I saw it on the stage. And I thought that she did a really beautiful job with her musical numbers as well. I was there for Vanessa's story. I was there more for Usnavi's cousin. What's his name?
Sunny.
Than I was in the stage version. I really enjoyed it. You know me. I've been looking for joyful stuff to watch, and and I particularly find salsa music and Latin American. I find it really joyful. So it's hard for me to listen to it without, you know, feeling like moving. It's just that music is already so lovely, and I think the story was lovely. I think the performances were lovely. I think the way that they treated each different musical number was super interesting. Like the musical number in the salon, I loved. Yeah. I loved the way they did that. It was so much fun. So I don't have a lot of complaints, to be honest. I've been looking for joyful things, and I found this really joyful, and I can't be bothered to pick holes in it because I just want to feel the joy.
Yeah,
which is completely fair enough. In the chat, that's Druidic has brought up a point. They cut a couple of Nina's songs, and I found that really interesting because I think they changed the focus fairly significantly from stage show to film, like. Dion, was it you who said that it was very Usnavi-centric, or was that you, Jill?
Jill. I think mostly because, like, they keep flicking to him, like, talking to the kids, and it kind of felt like as if he was narrating all of these stories.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So in the original one, I think there was, well, in the original stage show, it really kind of feels a bit like the Usnavi and Vanessa story is actually a B-plot. And the main story really is about Nina and Benny. Like they get the bulk of the big songs, they get the sort of the real emotional romantic stuff, whereas the whole stuff with Vanessa and Usnavi is kind of it doesn't feel as important. And I think it's really interesting that they've obviously gone, Usnavi is the narrator, he's the character that you're going on this journey with. So why is he being put into the back seat? And I think that's an interesting choice because, yeah, I remember watching it and going, okay, it felt a little more even on the stage show, perhaps. I don't know. I don't know. It's interesting anyway. Dion.
Yeah. Look, it's fun. Like, I mean, obviously during this entire tumultuous period of the world, I too look for amazing, fun things out there, and I don't really want to pick apart too much stuff apart from some upcoming films to review. That's because they deserve it. But In the Heights is a nice change of pace, because here's the juxtaposition that I feel I suffer with. You have small stories about smaller people who are critically important, like everyone in Washington Heights. You know, it's, I love the fact that this is a story that does not fit into all of the other characters or categories that you usually get, which is like white middle class person has to save the world, or, you know, person who doesn't know that they're special is actually special and has to save the world. It is literally like, I just want to have a nice life and perhaps retire to my go back to the country that I am from and open up a beach shack. But while that's all happening, there is still life around you and how you work with each other. So like, that's what we love about that it's a small story. The juxtaposition I'm talking about is that there is so much money in showing this small story that I felt slightly guilty for going, oh yeah, that's great. They have great, what great characters and cool people, and they're doing great things. And aren't they amazing? Isn't it wonderful to live in Washington Heights? And I probably say maybe 60, 70% of the people who live in Washington Heights don't want to live there. You know, like, That's just, yeah. So I was watching.
That is great and
fun. Yeah, I know. But this is great and this is fun. But it's still, you know, it doesn't resolve the things that the people are trying to get through in it as a story. It's like, you know, I want to leave Washington Heights, and who left Washington Heights in this?
Yeah, I suppose like the gentrification that's happening around them doesn't really get addressed so much as just
it would have been really interesting the fact that they couldn't afford to live in Washington Heights anymore because it had been gentrified by white people. Like, that would have been an interesting story.
It's a different movie though.
Yeah. this is a fun
I mean,
musical.
Really, this movie isn't about I want to get out of Washington Heights. The musical and movie was about finding your community.
Sure.
And what we can get from community, and that could be a story that could be told.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah,
so Dion's going to write the follow up called Out of the Heights.
Yes.
I'd watch it.
It's actually a sequel to Daredevil.
Oh no.
Where Daredevil goes around at night and beats up people in Washington Heights.
Oh.
It's not far from Hell's Kitchen, isn't it?
It's called In the Fights.
Oh, fuck. No. No, Washington Heights is quite a ways away from Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, okay.
It's subways for you.
It's on the same side.
Yeah.
It is on the same side, but it's
just catch the subway up the top, like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh. It's kind of like white noise for Daredevil. He just sits on the subway and hears that and just doesn't think about too much else. Anyway. Do you want to go to a clip? Or do you want to rate? Now that
I was going to say, should we do a rating on this?
Sure, yes. Why not? Yeah, I've seen it. I have opinions.
Good.
They're not qualified.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I'm going to rate this one. I'm going to rate it 89. I really, really, really enjoyed it, but also there were a few moments where I was like, I would have liked a little less talking and a little more singing.
Radical.
Yeah, I know, right?
What I feel like tends to be a little problem with that, though, with movie adaptations, is that you get a lot of people watching the movie adaptation who isn't, like, that into musicals, and then they, like, go trumping out of it being like, oh, it was just all singing all the time.
Yeah.
And that's really irritating.
I'm just like, you went to a fucking musical. That's what you were.
Maybe there's something to say for adapting it a little bit to a cinema audience in order to reach and satisfy a broader audience. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think pretty much all of the changes that they made made a lot of sense. Mm. But there were actually a couple of interesting points, and a couple of people brought it up in the chat, that maybe we could have had a little more of that dancing on the side of the building feeling, like a little more magical realism, a little bit more, you know, some of the stuff that we'll see in the clip that's coming up is fun, but then you kind of almost want a little bit more magic.
Yeah.
And it felt oddly uncertain whether it was grounded or magical, or if it was at a particular time period, or it was never or whatever. But I still enjoyed it and I will happily watch it again.
I'm going to jump in next with my rating. They live on 181st, so I'm just going to give it an 81 because I can't give it 181. I agree with a lot of the stuff that Quinny said. That, I mean, when you think of it from the perspective of like Usnavi narrating this story, and you think he's like telling it from his island in the Dominican, but it's just
spoilers.
Yeah. I'm trying to get a point across. It's an imaginary setting that he's in. If that's the kind of magic that he's spinning with his story, how are we not seeing more of it in the musical numbers? How is there not a little bit more of that being woven through than just three numbers that I can think off the top of my head out of the whole musical? So, and I just didn't feel it right in the heart like I did when I saw the stage musical. That's the one thing I do remember coming away from that. It was such a small room in a community theatre, but the performances that were given were so heartfelt and so raw and like right in your face. And this was just kind of like, oh, this is a lovely little movie version. So, I mean, I kind of want to watch it again. I'd love to see it in a cinema. I think that would probably create a bigger impact for me. So if you guys haven't seen it yet and we do get out of lockdown, try and see it at the cinema. So yeah, just an 81. It was really enjoyable.
Nice. Dion or Pete, who wants to go first?
Peter does. Bus goes over Peter.
I really liked it. I think it's a successful adaptation and not, you know, very much like with books that people love. It's hard to bring something from one very specific format to another very specific format and do it successfully. Obviously, Lin-Manuel's Miranda involvement would have helped immensely in terms of being faithful to that source material. But I really feel like they used what cinema opens up in a really nice way. And I found it joyful and I had a lot of fun. So I'm going to give it 92.
Hey, there we are. You did enjoy it.
I think I'm going to Maxwell Smart it. 86.
I thought you were going to say good thinking 99.
Could have gone either way on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it's not perfect, but it was slightly hard for me to access as a story, but I love the story when I learned and went through it. And yeah, I wanted a bit more magical realism in some of that love for it, because I think the thing that they kind of dropped a little bit from the stage show was there was an obvious love of the community, and it seemed to be it was a lot of love between some major characters and not of the community that came out in the actual movie. And that's always kind of hard to do. As I said, you know, it's small stories but on a big scale, so everyone on there is a trained something. You know, there's a dancer, yeah, a juggler or something out on stage, so it doesn't, I don't know if that really feels like the full community vibe you get from a real story. But look, you know, it's great. Like, does it make you laugh, cry? Does it have a proper story? Is it just a story about normal people having normal lives? Yes, amazing. That's great. It's entertaining. There's a reason he's a good musical person and potentially should, you know, maybe keep writing musicals. We like them.
You guys not stay for the post credits.
Quinny, did you turn it off in the middle of the music in the credits? How dare you?
I'm trying
dancing in my living room.
I'm trying to remember whether I did or not. I'm like, what?
There is a super cute post-credit scene. If you're watching this at the cinema, stay till the end.
I do not remember a post-credit scene from the stage show.
No, there is no post-credit scene. In the stage
like
show.
That's a weird
thing. There's not even a Mr. Softy in the stage.
Is this a Marvel movie?
No, Mr. Softy gets referred to a couple of times. But yes. Okay. Right.
Well, there you go.
And Druidic, I'm so glad you've given it 105. Our rating system doesn't allow us to do that on the website. you know, that's fine.
Sure, I can. Just create another person and rate it twice. Rate it 100 okay. and then 5.
Yeah. Well, so somebody gives really it 5 and somebody else gives it 100.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, that's really going to fuck up the whole algorithm.
That's how math works, right?
Yeah, totally.
All right. Would you like to go to the clip that you were talking about, Quinny?
Please. Absolutely.
Sure, why not?
Prepare your dancing shoes.
It's almost been an hour. We should go to a clip now.
If I won the lotto tomorrow, well, I know I wouldn't bother going on no spending spree. I pick a business school and pay the entrance fee. And maybe if you're lucky, you'll stay friends with me. I'll be a businessman, richer than Nina's daddy. Tiger Woods and I on the links, and he's my caddy. My money's making money. I'm going from pole to modo. Keep the bling. I want the brass ring like Frodo. Here goes Mr. Braggadocio. Next thing you know, you lying like Pinocchio. Yo, if you're scared of the bulls, stay out the rodeo.
Oh, I got more flows than Obi-Wan Kenobi. Oh, you better stop rapping. You not ready. It's gonna get hot and heavy, and you off. Ready, sweat, yo, yo, yo. Yo, yo, I'm sorry, was that an answer? Shut up, go home and pull your damn pants up. Oh. As for you, Mr. Frodo or the Shire,
what?
96 G's ain't enough to retire. Come on.
I have enough to knock your ass off its axis.
You'll have a knapsack full of Jack after taxes.
Oh, yeah.
It's just oh, the fun. American lotto system.
And much tax. much like every lotto system everywhere.
Yes.
We don't pay tax on lotto in Australia.
I'm sure the tax man would disagree.
Oh, I mean, like, they give you the money first. They don't take the tax out first.
Like yeah, well, you know, you still have a tax bill. You're still supposed to lodge it.
Yeah, but you get the amount. Not like in America, they take the tax out first.
Yeah, right. Sure. Look, if I won $96,000, I probably would just go, great, still can't afford a house.
96,000.
I know, right?
96,000.
Yeah, 96,000 is enough for someone to barely pay off their student loans right now. So
yeah,
what a change of life!
This is one of those things that I found so funny. Like you watch the stage show and you're like, oh yeah, okay, 96,000. That's a cool kind of number and everything. And then in 2021, you're like, $96,000 is fuck all.
And I wouldn't say no.
No one
would say
make a big
no.
difference to a lot of people.
Yeah, but it's sort of like, I won lotto. How much did you win? I won 12 million. It's like, well, that's good. You can probably retire and then the rest of your inheritance will be gone by the time you're dead. You can afford a nice house and that's all.
Yes.
It's not like, you know, lotto these days is not, unless it's over 100 or 200 million, it doesn't even matter anymore. There's so many millionaires out there. If you want $1 billion, okay, fine, you could retire. And generational wealth.
Yeah, then. Don't even do the maths on billions. That gets very depressing very quickly.
Very, very quickly.
I love the billions.
Did anyone else get Fred Astaire vibes in that scene where with the tilt of the building?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
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 I was wondering at first if that was a deliberate reference and if it was going to keep tilting in different directions.
Yeah, I found the pool scene... The pool musical scene or the pool song? Can I call it the pool song? Sure. I'm going to call it the pool song the weakest of the songs.
Oh, I only found it weak because, like, the crowdiness of the pool was kind of stressing me out. I was like, guys.
There's no pandemic in this movie. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm kind of actually with you on that one, Dee. Like, it was a song that I was really excited about, and there are a few times I was like, I'm struggling to kind of hear it and I don't know, like I think the idea of being in a pool is a lot cooler than the fact of being in a pool because you can't actually move that fast.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, look, it was a lovely scene and nice and playful, and I like that they moved around in Washington Heights. And actually, that's the thing, there's a question, I don't know, was it shot in Washington Heights? There
that's
you go.
That's
a great question. Somebody quickly Google it because obviously none of us know.
No.
Oh, yeah, the contortion guy in the pool. That was a little bit weird.
Yeah. It was in New York. A bulk of it was done at the intersection of 175th Street and Aubedon Avenue.
Okay.
Yay.
Very nice. So it's basically in the right area. But then again, I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda wasn't actually from Washington Heights either. He's from the next neighborhood across.
I'm not going to draw
a lot of what he was writing is based on not even actually Washington Heights.
Yeah, I'm not going to draw straws at Lin-Manuel Miranda about not being from Washington Heights.
I think the suburb name has the right amount of what do you call it? What's it called?
Syncopation.
Syllables.
Syllables. Okay, yeah. You too.
Syllables.
Syllables.
I'm not going to draw straws on creators of musicals, considering Andrew Lloyd Webber probably has not met a phantom. So.
Has he met many cats?
He could.
I don't know any that dance on two.
I'm 100% sure if you went to Andrew Lloyd Webber's house, it would be populated with 163 cats that run the place.
Do they take off their fur coats?
Probably. Like, there's probably some weird shit going on with that guy.
So something I didn't realize, but the album actually went to number one on the Billboard soundtrack chart.
Cool.
The song 96,000 was released on May 3rd. But yeah, the album itself absolutely kicked the shit out of it, which is
I don't think I've ever thought about the Billboard chart since the early 90s when I used to listen to the top 10 off the Billboard chart on the radio.
Sorry, I
hate to be calling back to the history of, you know.
Do they still have like top 40 music these days?
Take 40, Australia.
Like, is there a such thing as top 40 anymore?
I don't know.
Or is it just like Spotify's hottest 100 or something?
Yeah, probably. As somebody said, people buy music? What?
No.
Music?
We just do what everyone else does. We pay another company to rent whatever they decide they want to sell to us. We don't own anything anymore. Yes, anyway, depressing. Anyway, spoilers.
You want to talk about
depressing? Look at the box office on this. Sorry.
Oh.
I love the film, and I think it's very, very wonderful, but unfortunately... the film needed to gross around $200 million worldwide to break even.
And it did not?
In a pandemic. No.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, anyway. You know, like, let's... I hope it comes to a streaming service soon and is picked up and able to make its money back, because it's worth seeing. I mean, if you're in a position to go to a cinema and watch it, it's a good fun time.
100% worth seeing in a cinema. I'm going to go and see it again in a cinema. It is still in a cinema when being in a cinema is safe.
Do you know what?
Yeah,
you know,
I would like that.
You know
too.
What I would really like to watch is, I'd love to see this at a drive-in.
Yes.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Remember drive-ins?
That would be fun.
Remember drive-ins?
They still have them.
Yeah, but you've got to
There's
go.
There's the one at Blacktown.
I was going to say, isn't there one out west somewhere?
Yeah, Blacktown.
There's always a drive-in somewhere, and it's always...
Vintage style one too. It's all like 50s style.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you used to go to the drive-in up on the Gold Coast deal?
Yes.
When you were little?
Yes.
Yeah. We used to get packed up in the car and sit in the car, and then there'd be a second movie and we'd sleep in the back while Mum and Dad watched the grown-up movie. It was great.
I remember very clearly watching the Roadrunner movie at a drive-in in South Australia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. The Roadrunner movie.
Yep. Same thing. You know, it was watch the Roadrunner movie and then fell asleep in the back while parents watched, you know, whatever the hell else was on.
Children of the Corn.
Simple feature.
Yes.
Why do they even do that anymore? It's like, it's a kid's movie that's going to bore the adults to tears, and then we'll put on something horrifying and hopefully all the kids are asleep by then.
And if they're not, then they can be traumatized for life.
Yes.
The good old days.
Yeah.
Or the cars having to leave in the middle of the film. It's like, oh, the kids are awake. Oh, time to get out of here.
So there's one thing I wanted to talk about in terms of spoilery stuff now that we are back in the second half.
Yes. You warned. Here be spoilers. US here, Navy is the name of the main character, who is called Usnavi. Which is also a slight reference to Avatar, because it's us Navi. God. What they're saying is, you need to take care of the environment.
Fucking, I want to kill you. I want to reach through the screen. It was choke Dion.
The current conspiracy is James Cameron and Lin-Manuel Miranda are trying to educate us on...
Even at Niash.
oh my God.
Someone was making a point. Yeah,
I was attempting to bring up an interesting point. So one of the things that I noticed that was changed that I thought was an interesting choice was when Abuela Claudia dies, in the stage show, we are talking very, very serious spoiler stuff here. In the stage show, she dies after she's found out that she's got the 96,000. And she is the one who is giving it to Usnavi to look after. So there is a whole section where she gives him the 96,000 that she has picked up from the thing. And he is running around basically in the streets with a bag full of money. Mm. And in this one, she has a much more, pleasant, quiet, dreamlike death, which I guess is to also allow her the song of Paciencia y Fe. But I was like, that's an interesting choice. In some ways, I felt like it kind of took away some of her agency a little bit, but I don't know.
I mean, why are they just fridging people in this movie?
What fridging is,
Dion? What fridging is.
Just because I don't know what it is doesn't mean I cannot use it in a sentence.
You can go ahead.
You shouldn't.
Piragua.
Right, here we go.
Yes. I don't know. I looked at those the piragua and I was like, oh, that looks so nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shaved ice with flavouring, right? What I was figuring from the...
Snow cones, basically.
Yeah, snow cones.
It's kind of been a handmade snow cone. Anyway, this is just nostalgia all the way.
That's kind of
we used to have like a little snow cone machine, like that you could do them at home and you put cordial on them. Yeah.
Yep. Was yours in the shape of like a penguin?
Yes, it was.
I remember it well.
Did you ever used to like suck all of the sugary water out and then compress the ice back into like an ice cube and peg it at your friends?
That's such a Dion thing.
No, I did not do that ever.
I never did that either. I just wondered.
Oh, shit.
Do you know what I loved? Really loved the dance scene in the club.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Like, all the scenes were pretty amazing. And I have in defense of that sideways building, floaty dance scene as well. That song's really beautiful, and is a lovely kind of thing. But what did you like about the dance scene in the club, Pete?
I don't know. It's just like it was high energy, nicely choreographed. Like, there was nothing, groundbreaking about it, but I liked that it was like a very traditional movie musical big cast dance number and that it was salsa and like just so much fun.
It felt very Latin, like it like the choice of dances and stuff like that, the sexiness of all the people, like they're all hot, they're all very sweaty, like it was super high energy, and I know what you mean. I really dug that scene. There was a scene later on that it was the one that felt the most like a bit out of a musical to me, and not necessarily in a good way. The bit where they start basically saying, everybody, we're going to have a carnival in the barrio. It starts off with, this sort of very, very forced kind of, I remember being a little girl back in, and it's funny. Like
it was a little bit like West Side Story with the...
Yeah!
The tablecloth or whatever,
Yeah, that was the one moment where I was like, on a stage you forgive this? Like on a stage, you kind of go, I get what you're doing, and we need to lead into one of our biggest dance numbers. On a feature film, you're like, wow, this feels stagey.
Yeah,
I still dug it though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is good, but it was the bit that made me just go,
Yeah. It's like, oh, we're going to lean into that stereotype.
Yeah.
Though I, in, as went by in the chat a while back, Stephanie Beatriz as Carla, I dug her so much.
Yes.
I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so she was a badass.
Yeah, it's good. Look, you know, the whole thing was very lovely and very kind of a little bit of happy in a whole sea of weirdness. So it does feel like we're kind of picking apart, like, oh, this was a bit weird. But, like, it is a very heartfelt kind of story. And do you think that this story is one that needs to be kind of reinforced around the traps as we go through? Or that do you feel a sense of community these days where you live?
No. Where I live alone and I'm not allowed to see other people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I mean. But we're creating a Washington Heights online. With all these wonderful people in the chat.
Look at them. And look at them all singing and dancing out there.
Yeah, actually, you know what? It is nice to see, like, the same names every week come and join us and talk with us. And
yeah.
I feel like we have a rapport with all you guys that watch our channel and interact with us. And I love our little periodic table of awesome community.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I like to think that when I die, you'll all stand outside the street and hold candles up.
Just, Abuela Queenie.
Okay.
It wasn't really my abuela, but.
I don't know.
Hello, Carlo.
I don't know about you, Jill and Peter, but we can make that happen next month.
What, you're going to kill me?
Well, are we having a funeral for Queenie? What?
Maybe. Maybe we will.
Watch your back, you.
Jesus.
The auntie really wants a vigil.
Yeah, I do.
And I'll
kill someone. Let's have a fucking vigil for COVID already, can we?
Yeah. Let's put that one in a fucking casket.
Kick that one out the fucking door. Shit.
Yes. Oh, yes. Dear. Yes. well, that was In the Heights.
It was.
Yeah.
In the Heights. I had fun in the
Heights. What's funny? One of my favorite
things. Devolved into humming now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
One of my favorite things was watching Jenny, who was our musical director, who'd done so many different musicals.
Wait, are we in Launceston College? Yes, right. Okay, sorry. Just help frame the thing. Yeah. It was just like, this so Jenny,
she was the
musical
director.
Director
at
like,
musical.
We don't have a musical director. We're a Twitch show. No.
Maybe we should. No, but Jenny, who was a lovely, you know, lady who's sort of, I don't know, coming up on retirement, I guess, sometime in the next 10 years. Who has done so many different musicals, has done Hair multiple times, has done fucking Hairspray, has done everything hair-related as a musical.
All two of them.
All two of those shows and some High School Musical and a whole bunch of other shit. And seeing her look at the score for In the Heights and just go, fuck. Because she is used to, you know, having an orchestra and having all that stuff. And she's like, oh, God, we actually need an entire Latin samba group. Because you can't actually do this musical if you don't know how to play Latin music.
I've never met this Jenny person, but I can just imagine her face was, fuck. Just like, I'm Jenny, the musical director.
Shout out to you, Jenny Bakun. We love you. she was amazing. But, yeah, the moment, because she also played the piano through most of it. So not only is she, you know, directing, but she's all like, exactly. So, you know, whilst that may have not been the right musical for that particular thing, I still love and respect Jenny for giving it the red hot fucking go she did.
Speaking of red hot goes, what's coming up on Friday, Quinny?
Oh, well.
Mukbang week.
Yes. Apparently we're doing a mukbang or mukbang. Now, what entirely that's going to entail, I don't really know.
I think no. Just bring
we were
dinner.
Talking a few weeks ago about having a burger party. So I don't know, everyone's just going to get their takeaway and join.
Well,
right?
I think
is a burger point. Party different to a spit roast?
Oh, Jill. If you need, right?
I don't know about you, but I'm going to be clipping that bit out.
Oh, what?
No.
You
and then
the
playing
pig
it everywhere.
On the rotisserie.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I love the chat's like, Jill, no. Oh, this is great. Look, we don't
know
what's happening.
For the fact that I'm going to be cooking pulled pork.
Well,
that's
Quinny's
not even
doing the spit roast.
That's not even any better, Quinny.
No.
He's pulling the pork on Friday. Come join us.
That's right. I will be on screen pulling the pork.
And that's going to be Quinny's little number. However he's going to run that, I look forward to seeing the result. And then after
it's going to be an interesting time for everybody.
What's up next Tuesday, though?
Next Tuesday? Oh. Wait.
Black Widow, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh my God, it comes out this week. Finally, it's only been 12 months or more.
Yes.
I did see somebody make the point that Black Widow, one of those films that probably should have been released, I don't know, about 10 years ago. You know.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Should have been released a year and a bit ago in actual cinemas and stuff, but you know, in the context,
probably should have been a movie that came out before like Avengers 2, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, that's going to come out soon, so everyone's excited for that. And I mean, it should be on Disney Plus, isn't it?
Yes,
it will be. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, which is nice, but. I know that we're all kind of thinking, wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah. I was supposed to go see it last Tuesday. Thanks, COVID.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. I was going to go to the premiere.
Oh.
Sad face.
I know.
Much play my tiny violin.
Yeah, I don't have a tiny violin. I'm going to have to get a tiny violin.
Yes. We need new soundboards now. You could just do the Mortal Kombat nut punch.
Oh
yeah!
There you go. Should have gone
in stereo, apparently.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us. I've been Dion.
I've been Quinny.
I've been Jill.
I've been Peter.
And this has been the Periodic Table of Awesome.
And the chat is going
and
Elgato.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.